Hello, this is Johnny Beaner. I am a hilarious comedian, and you are listening to Christopher Olsen's podcast, You Don't Say, coming to you live from the basement in Silence of the Lambs. It truly is the Breakfast of Champions.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the You Don't Say podcast. I am your host, as always, Christopher Olsen. Thank you again so much. Thank you for the tweets, the retweets, the untweets, the unlikes, the shares, the hate mail, all of the good stuff. Even hate mail is good, as I've said before. So it's better than a bill. So good to be back. Have another episode for you here this round, and this was a lot of fun. I was able to have a week at the Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Not too far from home for me, but still a good poke as far as a drive, and was able to work with my buddy Dave Landau. Everybody's heard from Dave, as well as one of the other individuals that was featuring with us, Mr. Jeff Oske. Jeff, if you haven't heard his name dropped before on the show, Matt Holt has said a lot about him. Brent Trehune on a couple episodes back has said some great things about Jeff, as well as just in the stand-up industry. Jeff's from Indianapolis. He's a writer on the Bob and Tom radio program, as well as an on-air individual from time to time. Just a real interesting dude. I guess, I don't know, whatever. So some background, I'll give you some insight. We were working in Milwaukee, as I said, at the, Comedy Cafe on, 3rd Street, a wonderful club. Eric and staff there were fantastic. We had five shows, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, two Friday, two Saturday. And, all the audiences were awesome. We had a blast. And, I met Jeff for the first time Thursday. The three of us had stayed together in the condo of the club. So I walk in. I'd never met Jeff before. Recognized him, of course. He recognized me, just from Facebook, Twitter. We know each other, that sort of thing. But Jeff and I get to talking. We're trying to figure out how the TV works, that sort of thing. And we just, I don't know. For me, I just really hit it off with Jeff, and I hope he feels the same. I think so. And the next day, we recorded. We had some lunch. I had another show. Was part of Addie Blanchard's Sorry Not Sorry show on that was February 4th, Saturday, Locust Street in Milwaukee. Great show, River West Public House. Give those guys a look. Great. That show was fantastic. I got to see Christopher Schmidt. Got to see Carly Mallison, some other Milwaukee and Madison folks. So special thanks to them. I hope to get on that show again soon. I had a blast with that. That was a stacked crowd too. That was awesome. So I had a wonderful wonderful week. But back to Jeff. Back to this episode. Jeff, as I said, from Indianapolis. He does a couple of side jobs on the side as far as comedy, but also runs a couple of shows in the Indianapolis area, and you can see him regularly at those shows at the White Rabbit in Indianapolis, as well as at Morty's Comedy Club in Indianapolis as well. We had a wonderful week with Dave Landau. Dave had another show as well, and we just had a lot of fun. It was just actually a blast, and just talking, kind of shooting the breeze, going about town. We had brats. I mean, we were in Milwaukee, so I mean, we had brats, which is, if you're not familiar with the brat, it's like a sausage, but it's one of the greatest things ever. We then Saturday we had some breakfast, and we just talked. Three of us just really all hit it off. But again, I've said that before, about Dave, but getting to work with Jeff and actually sitting down with Jeff was fantastic. We had a nice chat, and we were actually pretty hungry. Once we wrap up here, my apologies if it seems short, but by God, we were hungry, so we went to go have something to eat. But nonetheless, give us a listen, kick this out. You can find Jeff on Twitter at, I believe his handle is at Scene Funnier, I think. I believe so. Otherwise, just look up Jeff Oske. Find him on Facebook as well. He has an album out on iTunes as well. So grab that if you can. That would be awesome. Jeff's hilarious. So, again, great working with Jeff. Hope to do it again soon. But here, for you folks, here's my my chat and my conversation with comedian Mr. Jeff Oskey. Listen and enjoy.
Like that, did you ever see the Bill Burr special where they're, where he's talking about the, he spots the guy in sandals in, like, the front row?
I don't think I've seen that, no.
And he's like, dude, are you wearing sandals? He goes, it's like winter out. He goes, or are you one of those guys who, like, I just wear shorts all year round? Yeah, I'm just one of those guys. My legs never get cold. Like, that's why women want to mate with you. Like, that's your thing.
Right.
So that's mine. Yeah, I'm deaf in one ear. Yeah, that's my interesting thing that, oh, yeah, maybe you're fuckable.
How did that happen? I mean, was it just...
I was born that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me and Lady Gaga, we were born that way.
Oh, you're just born that way.
We were born that way. I guess great. I should ask, Chris, I haven't listened to your podcast ever because I have no time, but I will listen to it now.
Well, that's good. One new listener. That's good.
Are there any content? Are there any language restrictions?
No, absolutely
like,
not.
Does your church listen to this? Like, am I gonna? I don't want to get you excommunicated from something because before I like to ask ahead of time.
No, there's nothing of the sort.
All right.
No. Where did? When did you start? Actually.
I started when I turned 30.
Okay, that's you and I were a little bit chatty last night and yesterday, but that's pretty close to me, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, I turned 30, and I just had a failed failed business, and I was working at a restaurant in Indianapolis, and it just so happened the owner of the restaurant used to own all the comedy clubs back in the 80s in Indianapolis, and... I think it's a funny story. I worked there. I got hired. You know, it was a bar. Like, sure. I got hired to work in the kitchen, and I worked in the kitchen at the... but the kitchen was separate. I was back on the sandwiches, because that's where they put the fucking new people. They're like, here, you can't fuck a sandwich up. You get back, and you make sandwiches.
It is pretty tough to fuck up a sandwich.
And it was back in the same room that also had the washtub, and there was this old guy who would come in every day and do the dishes. And he was just loud and obnoxious and just a fucking kind of a dick, but kind of funny. Like, I liked working back there with him. Like, he would just make fun of me the whole time. Sure. And just, and one day I was like, so how'd you, what'd you do before this? That you just come in here and wash dishes for fun just to fuck with me? Like, you have nothing better to do? Like, this is, I've retired. I can't. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I go, what? You're just, some old retired guy they hire. You just come in here for that. He goes, I own this motherfucker. And I go, what? And he goes, I own this. This is my building, my business. Shit. You realize I'm the owner, right? For like 2 months, I had no idea. I thought it was just this old, crusty, fucking, really out of touch old guy who came in and. But no, he would come in and apparently he would pick up the money and he would do the dishes in the afternoon and then he would leave. But he was there from like 10 to 2. And I just thought he was this old guy we hired, like a Walmart greeter kind of thing.
Right, right.
And
like a charity case.
Yeah. So and I was like, oh. And he goes, yeah, man, I own this. This is mine.
Shit.
And I was like, oh, well, how'd you come about owning this? He goes, well, I used to own all the comedy clubs back in the 80s. I got out and I bought this restaurant and I was like, oh, so he used to tell me all these great stories about hanging out with Ray Romano and Brad Garrett and John Fox and, who's the, God, I can picture him. I love him. He was the science teacher comic who passed away with the big buggy eyes.
Yes. Was it Wolf something?
Dennis Wolfberg?
Wolfberg, that might be it, yeah.
I'm probably killing someone right now. They're like, oh, you're the worst. How do you not? But he would
there
just
is technology, I guess.
And, and like Ellen, and he would just tell all these great stories. And so every day I would ask him something else about, because I always loved stand-up comedy, right, watching it. Mm-hmm. And now I was kind of like getting up behind the scenes. And
sure.
So probably after about 8 months of working there, I went down the basement one morning. He was down there and counting his money. And literally counting his money. And I was like, hey, I think I'm going to do stand-up comedy. And he goes, why? No, you right. can't. You can't. And I go, what do you mean I can't? And he goes, you have no idea what it entails. Like, you don't just go do stand-up comedy. You gotta like, write out jokes and come up with an act. And I go, yeah, I wrote some jokes. I'm going to go do this open mic. Huh. And he goes, well, good, man. You're going to fucking be horrible. And I was like, this is not, like, I thought we were pretty good friends.
Right.
And he really destroyed me. Like, it was kind of, I don't know, it just really, I thought he would be like, yeah, go for it. And he was the exact opposite.
Right, or at least a little insightful of just saying, well, what do you got? Or, well, yeah, you know, no. Do this, do that. But it was just, no, you're going to suck.
Yeah, you're going to suck. You're going to be horrible. And then that, like, same week, he's like, hey, there's this really funny guy at the club named Jimmy Pardo who's going to be at this club this weekend. You should come with me and go see a fucking live stand-up show and realize you don't have any business. Just because I've told you a bunch of stories doesn't sure. make you a stand-up fucking comic. And so I went and watched Jimmy Pardo, and then I was like, this is definitely what I'm going to do. Yeah. Like, it had the exact opposite effect of what he thought it was going to. I was like, oh, this is even better than I thought it was going to be. Because I had never been to a live comedy show at 30. Like, I had always gotten all my stand-up off of watching, you know, the old show. Yeah.
Evening at the Improv, you know, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, whatever
or
specials were
Carson
on. Carson,
you know, any of those guys. And so to, I went and fucking proved him wrong.
That's good.
But
to his dismay, you were
and what's funny is he didn't come out. I would ask them to come see my shows, and and his wife also, Patty, it was Chicken Patty Perrin for all the old comics out there, but they I'd ask them to come see my shows and they'd be like, no. And I'm like, no, it would mean a lot to me. And they're like, we don't know. Okay. We can't sit through more shitty comedy. And I was like, all right. And so finally, after when I was recording my CD that you can buy on iTunes, Dream Killer, when I was recording that, I went in to Old Point with the flyer. I was like, hey, asshole, I worked for you for 7 years. Come out, support my damn thing. Yeah. Come and watch my show. You have no idea. I promise I'm not going to suck. and they came, and they were I can hear them laughing throughout the CD.
That's
like,
cool.
He has a very loud, infectious, and afterwards they were like, oh my God, we never were. They, and granted, that whole CD is set. It's my favorite place in my favorite part of town, and 90% of that audience is not, I wouldn't say friends. I don't have any friends, but they're people. Like, I stacked the audience. I didn't mean to. I was like, hey, here's a free show. Anyone's welcome to come.
Right.
And I thought I'd get like 30 people. Well, like 140 people showed up for the recording.
Great.
And standing room. And so it sounds really great. And I did do good, but it wasn't like I walked into a town where no one had heard me, and
right.
then I recorded that CD, and they're like, yeah, this guy's brilliant. Like, I didn't have that much balls. My next CD, nice. Though, I'm going to do in a town where no one knows me.
That'd be good.
I think
I mean, just to where
it'll
you'd
be
have,
more honest.
You'd have, you'd have like a raw crowd then of just, I mean, be very, I guess, very blunt. Of just, you know, you kind of lucked out. You kind of had a stacked crowd, but that would be that even might be a little more infectious too. I mean, to where, you know, these are people that haven't heard you. That might be interesting. So, yeah,
yeah, it definitely. It was It was good. Like, that's why, have you seen the latest Bill Burr special?
No, I haven't. I see it's on Netflix.
He recorded it in Nashville, and there's definitely some things you can tell, like, not everybody in the crowd's a Bill Burr fan.
Right.
And that's kind of what makes it awesome.
Right.
Because it's not just, you know, once you get to a certain status, like, I don't know. Like, it's almost like cheating. It's not your fault that all these people will laugh at everything that comes out of your mouth, that you've developed these great followers through your great comedy.
Right.
But there's times where I've been watching a special, whoever it is, and I'm like, the only reason these people are laughing is because this guy can do no wrong, or she can do no wrong.
That's what we were talking this morning. That's what happened when I went to see Kevin Hart, is I noticed people are laughing, and some of it to me was, well, that's okay, that's interesting, but... I mean, yeah, you could have read the phone book, and you know, people would have fucking laughed.
That guy's brilliant, man. Did you hear the way he said that last name, Damascus? Oh, everybody's wearing Damascus T-shirts like 2 weeks later.
No shit.
That's like the new keyword, Damascus.
Damascus.
But, I mean, but the thing is, to get to that point, they obviously had to win over hundreds of thousands of people that I haven't won over.
No, I completely agree, but it was just one of those things that I noticed that, wow, I mean, those are just true fans. I mean, it's just how it is.
But that's why I like Burr's special. Like, it's not like he shot it, or at least it doesn't have the feel that he really, like, it wasn't like he... These people were all huge, just...
Right.
It was like, oh, we're going to go get to be part of a comedy show taping, as opposed to a, oh, yeah, it's Bill Burr, everybody, we're all the Bill Burr fans from all the Midwest, all...
all came to Nashville.
Yeah, no. But that's why good. I like it. It's more raw, like, it's more believable.
Yeah. So you've been at it, what, 12 years?
Is that 12, 13. 12? Yeah, well, like, from the first time I did, like, it's, like, 13 from the, I stepped on stage, like, I turned 30 at the end of September, and I got on stage in October, and, you know, it's three, you know how it is, you get 3 minutes, and at the time, there was only one club that had an open mic in Indianapolis. And you would sign up on the first Tuesday of the month. So every comic who wanted to perform for the whole month would show up on the first Tuesday.
Sure.
And you would sign up for the following month.
Okay.
So everybody would be there. They would sign you up. And you could only, until they went through everyone there, they filled up dates.
Okay.
And then... they would put 13 with 6 alternates. So there were a lot of times when you signed up that you had 1 6-minute spot for the whole month of March.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Because all the spots were booked
up. Right, right.
Huh. And, but then if you came on a Tuesday and they went through the 13 and then the 6 alternates, then you could be on an alternate list. And if enough people didn't show up on those two lists, then you could get on that way.
Okay.
And so maybe, I'd say for the first 6 or 8 months, I got on stage twice a month at the most.
Holy shit. Okay.
At an open mic, which you really just can't get good.
Right. It's not enough repetition to even grind out new material.
But, you know, and then it was one of those things, as you're around more than... you know, somehow your name gets on the list a little bit more often.
And
you get moved up on some. But honestly, the list, you could sign the list at 6 p.m. and the open mic started at 8:30. And I wasn't driving at the time. And so I bought a bicycle and I would ride 40 minutes up to Broad Ripple at like 5 o'clock at night to like be there when they opened the door so I could be the first name on the alternate list. It was me and this other dude would be waiting outside and we would sign our name on the alternate list. And then you just had like 2.5 hours to do nothing until the show started.
Jesus.
And so you would just like, and they wouldn't let you in until like 7:30.
Okay.
So you would like go in, sign, then you had to go just back, sit outside like a dumb fuck and just wait.
Just
and
waiting.
Then, and then there were times you would, they'd be like, and that's all the people we're taking tonight. And it's Jeez. Like, no, you're only taking 12. I fucking counted. Like, and I'm first on the alternate. I should be next. And they'd be like, well, we're going to give Brad Scott 10 minutes tonight. And you're like, suck it, Brad Scott. I fucking hate you. Brad's a friend of mine, but back at the time, that's how it worked. And then you know how it is. You get in, and so then you get to be the Brad Scott and take some other new dude's I was supposed to, I'm fucking mad. I'm like, I rode my bike, you dick. Like, fucking, there's just so much animosity.
You drove here, and I had to pedal my ass.
I got here at 5:15. Well, I used to get here at noon. I'm the reason they moved the list back till 6:30.
It's probably so true.
Oh, it's like parents talking to their kids about fucking, I walk both ways to fucking, like the new guys are like, I didn't get on tonight. I didn't get on for 12 weeks in a row. And then I accidentally said, fuck, and got banned for 3 months. So eat a dick. I had it worse than you.
That is so true, though. You do, after a couple of years, you sound like an old parent. It's like anybody knew. Of like, no, you don't know how it was.
Yeah, and you got it good.
And even now, like in my scene, there's like, really there's, I mean, I'll call it 2 open mics. And there used to be like 3 or 4, which kind of stinks because individuals that are, you know, sort of at it and, you know, they're committed to it, they don't have the opportunity. I did just a matter of, 7 years ago, six, seven years ago.
See, ours, luckily, has done the exact opposite. Like,
that's
we
awesome.
Have.
That's fantastic.
We have so many open mics that I don't even know what
it's
they all are.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple that, like, we have 2 clubs that both have an open mic, Crackers and Morty's. Mm-hmm. Go to Morty's. And that's my home club is Morty's.
Nice.
But then we have one on Monday night. We have one on then Crackers on Tuesday, Morty's on Wednesday. Then there's one on Sunday night at a bar at the Alley Cat. There's one on Thursday night.
Jeez.
Where in the fuck is that at? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
I got. Please, I don't go to open mics. And then you get the new guys like, you don't even fucking come to open. I've been to 12,000 open mics, you dick. You just weren't around to see it. Like, I put my open mic time in. But no, I do need to go to, that's the thing. Like, I've you know, as you, the longer you do comedy, it's like, oh, well, I need to make up some time with my loved ones for all those.
Right. Right.
You know, and so you try to like balance it out and something's got to give. And it's like, well, I just gave every minute of every day for the last 7-8 years to comedy. Yeah. I need to give some of these days to, and I'm still getting to do comedy. I could, right. I just get to luckily get to come here and work with you and Dave and like do shit like that. As opposed to the only way I was going to get on stage before was going to an open mic.
Yeah. But
I mean, they're so important.
And it is, and I've noticed it too, really, like in the last, well, I'd say like the last 2 years heavily. It's harder for me with my kids getting older. They got shit to do, and I mean, they can't
they
drive themselves.
They gotta get there. Yeah.
They gotta, they got shit to do. So there's one really decent open mic on Wednesdays that my buddy Crane's Butter runs, and I can't get there. I've got my kids on Wednesdays normally.
Right.
And then my youngest is in this youth group and where they just, you know, they just hang out and they just have fun and whatever. But that's from 6 to 8. The mic starts at 7:30. It's just one of those things.
Right.
That I'm not able to. I'm preparing. I'm not able to make it every week. I hope I'll be able to a couple of times, just one-offs. But yeah, just, you got to, you know, like you said, you got to help the kids out.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You... I mean, to start out to get to the point where you're getting paid work, like, you've probably spent hours and days and weeks and months at clubs and open mics just putting your time in. And then, but I definitely, I think they're super important. I don't understand why every town doesn't have them, or like,
yeah, I wish in certain areas I wish there were more.
Yeah,
where we are now in Milwaukee, it's just about every night you could get on stage, which is pretty cool, and they're legit, really well run shows.
Oh yeah,
which is good. So unlike our other conversation, if it's at some family restaurant.
Right. Well, I don't know if you guys have this kind of, which I have nothing to do with it, except for I've gotten to perform at a couple of them. The big thing that they're doing, which is probably illegal and I'm going to get it shut down in Indy, these guys are putting on a ton of like house shows.
Yes.
And which didn't even dawn on me, like, right, back when I was starting, like, oh, well, we'll just fucking have it at my house, right, and we're going to do it once a month and bring in some dude who's, like, you know, working his way up, who, right, you know, is traveling through town on a Wednesday and needs to fill a fucking night.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to do it in my friend Johnny's basement and fucking, you know, not sell beer or whatever,
right,
and charge $5 at the door. And I'm like, you guys are fucking geniuses.
Right.
Like, I've been doing comedy 12 years at the time. It never once dawned on me to just do it at a fuck. Of course, at the house I was living in, I couldn't have fucking had six people in it. But
I actually thought about it. There was a couple people that I talked to that, well, I could do something in my basement. Well, how many people are you really going to fit? You know, I've got like this half-finished basement. You could get 20 people, but that's going to be tight.
Right.
You know, so it's like, well, I don't know.
But, I mean, even, you know, even at 20, 25 people at $5 a head.
Well, right.
I mean, you still made $100
right,
for the night.
That's a
valid
point.
You give the comic $20 and fucking you just made 80. Like, that's not a bad.
That's true. That's a valid point. Yeah.
To have a bunch of strangers in your house, I would need to make a lot more than that.
Right. Exactly.
But, these young guys, they're renting. They don't give a shit what right happens to their fucking house.
That's the other thing. Is that, well, it's just a rental. It's like, I'm going to lose the deposit anyway. It's usually the theory. So
I feel, I don't know about you, I just feel so old when I, especially at like open mics and stuff. Like these dudes, I'm so jealous I didn't start when I was 19 and 18.
I've said this so many times, I can't agree with you more, that I wish I would have started when I was 20.
Yeah.
I really wish, because there's guys now that I've worked with a lot within my local scene, and even here in Milwaukee, they're all in their 20s, you know, and they've been doing it. They're learning young. They're going to be really good.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
in a number, you know, in another like 3-5 years.
Well, and
I wish I had that opportunity. I didn't jump into it, so it sucks.
Well, you have like a cool job where you can like travel around and still do your job, but like a lot of these, you know, when you're just a feature traveling around, like, it doesn't pay very good. And, you know, it's like, oh, Oklahoma, one night, no hotel, $125. Well, when you're 43, like, I got to justify a lot of shit.
Yeah, right.
Of being away from my family and not working a day job to pay my bills and knowing that I'm going to lose money to drive to fucking Oklahoma and the miles I put on my car. Whereas, like, when I was 20...
Fuck yeah.
Let's go. Like $125, I will do it for free. Like,
right, yeah.
Like they can do it. They don't have shit. They don't have the responsibility. They don't have, you know, they're still racking up their credit card. They still have they still have money on it.
Like, they have available credit.
Yeah, they are like now just being forced to pay back on that first 10 years of comedy, like on their card yet. So
that's so true.
But yeah, man, start early. Like if you're thinking about starting like in your 30, start today. Don't wait till you're fucking 31. Like,
yeah.
Start.
No, that's so true. Yeah, if you have any aspiration to doing it.
And I think the first time you get on stage, you know if you're gonna like it or not. Like just
I think so too.
Just getting up there is the hard part. So like if you can just be like, hey, I'm getting up there, I'm gonna suck no matter what, because chances are you're going to. Like, you're still going to know if you like that feeling or not.
Exactly.
And if you want to do that feeling again. So just get that, get your first show out of the way, and you may never do another one. You may be like, oh, that wasn't for me. I'm out. Gotta go. You may be like, oh, I bombed, but I want to get laughs. I'm coming back.
Right.
Which is, I don't know about you, like, that was my big motivating factor. I was so bad that I'm like, I'm doing it until I'm not bad anymore.
Yeah. No, I went to go see a friend who's, he's really on like a hiatus. He just, his fiance passed away and whatnot. But I went to go see him, and it was an open mic, and I knew that the club existed. I hadn't been there before. And just before the show, he said, oh, I put you on the list. And I said, get the hell out of here. I don't have anything to talk about. Goes, no, you'll do fine. So I just told the story of like this really crappy cab ride I had, and how like the cab driver was much like a carny. And it got a couple of laughs. I mean, it was awful, but it got some laughs. But sure shit. It
gave you just
The next week. I was back the next week and the week after that. And then, you know, I would rarely miss that open mic. And then you get networked. And then it's, oh, there's another open mic. Or I'm starting an open mic. And it's, you know, not too far, you know, from home. But it all worked. It was a bunch of puzzles. But that I put together, puzzle pieces I put together. But had I done that or had that opportunity been there 10 years prior, shit, it would have been awesome. Yeah. And it just wasn't for me. So, I didn't explore it.
And I don't know. I'll be honest. I couldn't have done it any earlier. Like I didn't have the self confidence until I got to probably to my 30s, where like I was like, oh wait, you're 30. Why in the fuck do you give a shit what other people think about you?
Right.
Like really, you've let it dominate 30 years of your life.
That's
like
a good point.
At what age are you finally going to go, oh, no, I don't care if people think I'm an idiot. Like,
yeah.
And 30 was my age. I was like, hey, I'm 30. I don't care anymore about, I'm not going to let that confine me from doing what I want to do and say what I want to say.
No, and I think there comes a moment, I don't know, sometimes it's age, sometimes it's just another event. For me, it was when I got divorced. So, like, that hit me, and there were, like, certain things I had to, like, sort of just get into check and get into just really kind of taking myself by the fucking bootstraps and just, all right, you got to change some shit up. It's kind of just you, right, you like your
a,
own.
A total evaluation, exactly. Honest evaluation about
it's exactly what
your
happened.
Thoughts on yourself and how you view the world and stuff.
Yeah, so then when I did it, I'm like, well, fuck, I've been through worse. I can do this, and I really enjoyed it. And I was like, well, this is liberating in a sense because I can sort of pitch my woes to other people, in a sense.
Right.
I mean, that wasn't all it was. I wasn't just bitching about my life, but it certainly helped.
Oh, you know? All mine is bitching about my wife.
Yeah.
No, I work with a guy, and we were working together not too long ago, and he goes, how come you don't do that joke about your wife anymore? And I go, because I'm divorced.
Yeah.
And he goes, it was a great joke, though. I was like, I'll sell it to you. And he goes, I'll buy it. And I was like, sweet. Yeah, I'll totally sell it to you. And he's currently doing it. And that's totally cool. Totally fine with me.
That's like, great.
Because that was a part of my life. That's no. But for a long time, that was the cornerstone of my act, was talking about my wife or my ex-wife and our problems. And it's like, well, we don't have those problems anymore. So now I don't need.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I'm like...
It's valid.
It was a good joke. I still like the joke, but to go up there now, I'm talking about being single.
Right.
I can't really do this wife joke, because I don't really want to be like, oh, well, now we aren't married, but that's how it used to be. And, like, you know, has to have some sort of reality of, like, well, he just said he was married, and in this joke he said he's dating, and in that joke he said that he's divorced, and, like, what the fuck's going on with...
That's so true.
But, like, I've seen comics do that, like, that are, like, doing older stuff that's about whatever, and it's like, well... Wait, what? How'd you get here? You were just here in this joke, now
you were just single.
Yeah,
two jokes ago.
Yeah. And now you have five kids.
Now you got five kids. That's so true.
Pardon me.
Mm-mm. That's fine. You're
can
on
we
Facebook
fix it and post.
No, yeah, it's fine. Actually, I don't know much of anything. But
I'm just playing.
On Facebook Thursday nights, you do the Comedy Garage.
I'm trying.
It's fucking awesome.
I
really enjoy it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I don't know if anyone... my intent was... my friend Matt Holt.
Yeah.
And Matt. I have a friend named Scott Long and a friend named Brad Scott. And they've all offered different like writing classes or comedy classes.
Sure.
And I never thought I wanted to do anything like that. But yeah. I've taken all of them. I take it. Anytime someone offers a comedy class, even nowadays, I take it.
Sure.
Like, I'm not going to pass up like going at least... If anything, I'm taking it fucking to make you fucking work. Like I'm taking the class. Like, yeah. I want to learn, and if it's something I think, oh, well, I'm going to talk about how to do joke structure writing. Well, I need that, so I'm going to go and take that class. Like, yeah. I honestly think that... For people going into comedy, you should take like script writing classes and creative writing. Like, there's lots of theaters in your hometown if you're in a medium sized town. I'm in Indy, so it's probably bigger than a lot of towns, but like theaters and stuff that aren't comedy related offer a lot of classes on writing sketch, writing joke, not even necessarily writing jokes, but creative writing. And you can just go in and be like, oh, I want to focus on writing funny stuff. And they're like, well, here's how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people with a lot of knowledge, and a lot of that shit costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth it. I have always had a lot of opinions on the way I think shit should go, but
yeah.
I don't think I'm worth it. So I don't think people should have... No, I don't think people should... I understand why people charge for comedy classes.
Sure.
I personally... I'm of a mindset that, like, if I know some shit that you don't know, that I should just share that shit with you.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that's good.
Which is why
some
I fucking
don't do that.
That's, which is why I hate doctors, which is why I fucking hate yoga yoga teachers and religion and like
yes,
like yeah. if you know some shit that can help me out, just fucking tell me the shit and help me out. Like, I understand you spent a lot of money to learn it, but let's fuck over the system and now you tell us all for free so that we can all get ahead and, like, you know what I
right?
mean? Like,
oh, absolutely, yeah. Why is this a goddamn secret?
Right. Like, we should all be helping and fucking liberal. Yeah, I'm a fucking human being and I'm not liberal. But people think that way. They're like, oh, everybody wants something for free. No, if I have some, if I can save your life.
Yeah, I'll do that.
That's why doctors are fucking assholes. Like, I realize, yes, you spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to, like, go to school and learn all this stuff, and you did. And, like, you do deserve some reward for that. You deserve a fucking nice house and your fucking nice car and shit. But fucking after you get that, do some shit on the low down, on some low cost for us people who can't. Like, fucking, you know the answer. Tell the person the answer. Don't make them give you $50 to tell you an answer.
No shit.
But so I decided if I did a comedy class and just did it out of my garage for free, that A, no one could bitch about the advice I give them.
Right.
no one could complain that, oh, this guy doesn't know what. Well, fuck, obviously I don't. I'm not charging. If I charge, I obviously would know some shit.
Exactly.
And thirdly, I don't know. I've just started talking about this in the last couple months. But, like, I have horrible social phobia.
Okay.
And like, it goes in, like, it does go in waves. Like, it, when I was open micing and shit, like, I didn't have it at all.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, it seems like the more I get recognized or people know me or something, like, I'll go out to eat. And that's the funny thing. Like, I'm not even somebody.
Yeah.
But, like, I'll go out to eat and somebody will stare at me and just, like, fucking stare at me. And it drives... But I look in a way that I get stared at a lot. But I never know, hey, is this guy staring at me because of the way I look or because he... And there's been times when somebody I swore was about ready to fight me and... He came over to my table and was like, hey, man, I just want to tell you I fucking love you on the radio. And
no
I'm like,
shit.
Oh, he goes, I thought that was you, man. I heard your voice and I knew it, I thought it was you. But then when you said that one thing, I knew that was you. I just had to come over and tell you I liked you. The whole time, I'm like with my girlfriend going, there's some dude in the corners who wants to beat the shit out of me.
He's going
to
fuck
this
us up.
This dude why is he staring at me? He keeps fucking staring at me. Like,
yeah.
God damn it, man. I fucking hate getting stared at. And so this way I can fucking stay in the privacy of my own garage.
Sure.
And I don't have to look anyone in the eye. I don't have to hear anyone go, this is a bunch of... Now, I'm sure they can type in, this is a bunch of bullshit.
Right.
But I don't have to see people rolling their eyes as I'm trying to give a talk about something.
Yeah.
Like, it's way more just... So I started that. It's on Thursday nights at 10, whatever Indiana time is.
And, sure, yeah.
11 Milwaukee time. And my goal is to try to, it's aimed towards people thinking about getting into comedy and people who are just new to comedy, like stand-ups. It wasn't supposed to be for friends and family and fans. It was just, I was expecting like 12 like open micers to maybe go, oh, I know this guy. Like, I'm going to hear what he has to say about this. But then my first episode was like aunts and uncles I hadn't heard from in years going, you look great, honey. Like, your Uncle Charlie says hi. And I'm like, I appreciate that. Hi, Aunt Betty. But I'm trying to teach comedy. And so it's... Then there's probably a better venue than Facebook Live to do it.
Well,
but.
I don't know. Because you're, because most people, well, I shouldn't say most people, many people will go live about the most mundane bullshit. But at least you're giving a product with it.
I'm trying. I guess, like, I always wanted a podcast, but I'm too fucking lazy to figure out all the shit you have laying on the table here. And how to upload stuff to the net, because that's how old I am. And I was like, oh, well, here's a venue that isn't going to cost me any money to produce, isn't going to cost me any money to get going.
Right.
I have, this is the only tool I can afford right now.
Right.
So what's something I can do with this tool to be creative? And so we're going to give it a try. I'm going to keep doing it, and hopefully people dig it. But that was the other thing I wasn't expecting. Like, people like Josh Sneed and Mike Merrifield all these people who are like, I look up to, like, seeing their name pop up. I'm like, oh, shit, no, not. Don't, no, turn it off. You don't want to see this. This isn't for you. This is for these guys. Like, and they're probably doing the same thing as me showing up to comedy classes. Here, come on, I'm going to put you on fucking call. You better make it good. I'm watching.
Well, it's like, you know, it's those individuals that are real supportive of it, of just, you know, give this guy a listen. And,
well, I mean, like, Merrifield was like the last person. Same with Sneed. Like, the people who who have like been positive about him, like, holy shit, I didn't even know Mike Merrifield knew who the fuck I was. Like, and I've worked with him. Like, I like him, but I mean, it's been 7 or 8 years. I'm nobody. I don't go on the fucking road very often. And like, here, oh my God, Mike Merrifield tuned in. Oh my God. Like, I start sweating like Mike Merrifield watching. And then, and then he's like, hey, check this out. And I'm like, holy shit, he even like promoted it. Like,
that's
oh man, that made me feel really good. And I was like, well, shit, now I gotta work harder. Like, I gotta develop, like, and I do, like, I didn't last night, but I normally spend like an hour and write out like an outline of what I want to try to talk about and what I want to try to get across.
Sure.
And I found I'm still learning. There's still a lot to, it'll get better.
Yeah, well, I think with time, it's...
But I get distracted by all this stuff scrolling up. I think I need to put, like, a piece of tape over it, like, so I can't see it.
That might be helpful, No, just because there's people that are chiming in with questions, or they're noting something that you just mentioned. So it's hard to I know what right. I know what you're saying.
And then I have my fucking brother who's just like fucking just being just heckling me, like, yeah. And it's like, hey man, I'm trying to do something. Right. At the same time, I totally appreciate it. Like me and my brother Jason, we could not be more opposite. Like that dude listens to nothing but country. Listen to anything but country, and he's always been like very blue collar. I've always been like crazy, and so, but and luckily, my brother is without my family like throughout the way, like giving me odd. Like my brother does a lot of construction shit, so he'll like call me up and be like. I'll be like, hey man, that week backed out on me. I don't have this money coming in this week. He's like, oh, you can go rip the carpet out of this office building for $200. I'm like, sweet, give me the address.
Done.
And without that, I mean, I would have been screwed many times, especially when I did comedy full time without my brother helping me out. But he's the first one to fucking go on shit like that and just talk shit about me and like throw me off. And I'm just like, you son of a bitch.
That's good though.
It keeps me honest. So.
That's true. You're also you're a writer, the Bob and Tom Show.
That's
kick ass.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I've been doing it, I think, 6 years now.
Yeah, okay.
So it's enjoyable.
Yeah,
I like it.
You've got a new segment, right? Is it Tuesdays?
I don't know when it's gonna be. I tried a new segment. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I don't know how.
I was trying to
do like a Kostaki or a Tim Bedore where they had like a weekly like call in.
Right.
And so how it works inside shit. Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, like, no, I do. I do. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know what your listening base wants to hear.
I'm really interested. Yeah.
But like, so I used to do this blog where I stole like Dear Abby questions and just answered them myself because I wanted to do an advice column, but nobody would write me for advice, and I don't have like a newspaper, so I was like, well, I'll just steal other people's advice columns. And
it's
I'll
so
just
cool.
Fucking so.
Fucking
and when I'm not landscaping, like during the winter, I was putting them out like every week.
Yeah,
and then you know life starts back again. But so I was. But they always got a good response, and one time last year when I was on there bombing on Bob and Tom, Chick was like, hey, why don't you read some of your advice columns? That'll win them over. And Chick McGee, not Chick Parrott. So Chick McGee's like, hey, yeah, Tom, have you heard it? Here, read some. Well, they were written, so they're like 3 and 4 pages long.
Okay.
They aren't radio ready. So.
Sure.
I don't know. The 2 weeks ago, I was like, I need to start trying to be more proactive and do more stuff. I write on it daily for them at night for some of their call-in people. But I want to get like more proactive towards me getting known as opposed to getting other people known.
Right, right, right.
So
absolutely, absolutely.
So I emailed Tom. And I was like, hey, I want to do a weekly segment, of my bad advice. I've narrowed them down for radio. I've edited them so they'll be quicker and it'll only take like 2 or 3 minutes to do.
Yeah.
And I sent it and like, it was like, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And, went in, laid down. I always take a nap before I write at night because I don't know. Well, I get up at like 11:45 and I check my email and Tom's like, yeah, how about tomorrow morning? And I was like, oh shit. Like I hadn't really edited them down yet for radio. I was just pitching an idea. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, he's never going to go for this anyways. Right. Like, okay, how about in 4 hours? And I was like, oh shit. Well, luckily for me, I had to get kids everywhere the next day. So the next day wasn't going to work for me anyway.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't do it tomorrow. And he goes, okay, the next day. And I was like, sweet. So I had 24 hours to actually find pull some it together. And yeah. pull some and edit them down so they were more radio friendly.
Cool. But, God damn, that's all right.
But we're going to do some more. I don't know if it will get to be like a weekly segment like mm-hmm. I had hoped, sure. but if I can even get it to be a once a month segment,
that'd be good.
Anything would be good. I mean,
anything's
I wish
good.
I. That's the thing. It's like, wait, I have this voice to you, I have an inside into getting to talk directly to the boss of right. a place that gets out to millions of people.
Right on.
Like, what can I come up with creatively to that? Because I do, like, I write fake commercials and stuff like that for them.
Yeah.
That get made sometimes. Sometimes they don't. It just depends. And it's like, what can I do to be proactive and get my name out there more for me? And so we'll see how it works. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to come up with something else to pitch.
Right.
I'm going to just keep on pitching until he tells me to stop.
Right. I think that's a fair idea, though. Well, you hungry?
Yeah, I'll go get some. I'll go
get
some lunch
to eat, man.
I appreciate you having me on, man.
No,
this was
a blast. This was actually I've listened to you. Your CD was great. It was fantastic to have you sit down with me. So, we can do it again sometime. That'd be fantastic.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Hopefully you come to Indy and we can do it there.
I would love
that. You can come to the actual garage.
That would be so cool.
You can come and sit in the actual comedy garage and you can be my first actual garage guest.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Perfect. I'd love it.
That'd be great. Well, thank you, sir. Hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks, man.
Hey there, this is Moidel Harrison. You're listening to You Don't Say. Also, check out my book, Just Because I'm Ugly Don't Mean I Don't Get Horny.
Hey, Ma, what's with the wash machine?
Listen, I told you. I've been watching my stories on it.